Good morning. We haven't got a pastor yet, but he's here. So we're going to start without him this morning. If you would this morning, take a moment to stand up and greet your neighbor. Say hello. Wake him up. Okay, we have some announcements this morning. Next Sunday is a church picnic and ice cream social. That announcement's in your bulletin if you'd like to read more about it. Well, all these announcements are in your bulletin. Are there any other special announcements that we might need to go over? Melanie?
This is not in your bulletin, but we musicians made a few rearrangements just so you don't think we didn't read our bulletin. For the offertory, we'll play Just As I Am, and the communion music is changed to Above All. And Larry said to let you all know that there are a couple of new contemporary songs we'll get today, Draw Me Closer to You and Isn't He, and those are on the printout. And I think Beth is going to be leading those from right here to town.
Okay, good.
Well, so she probably, we wanted her to teach us something about them during the announcements, too. Would that work, Savannah? Or you think you...
What do you want her to teach?
Well, if we don't know them, kind of tell us what, teach them how to sing them. That's what we talked about. Okay. Okay, if y'all think we can sing them, can we sing them without it? You'll teach us then. Okay.
We've winged quite a few, so I'm sure we can make it. Are there any other announcements that anybody would like to make that you know of? Starting Wednesday meetings again. Sign up for that. Larry, I don't see anything else other than September the 23rd, the carnival for kids.
September the 10th is,
church picnic and
picnic,
ice cream.
Yeah,
social.
We got that.
Yes. And I don't really see anything else that... Right. No children's choir tonight. Today. And I don't believe there's any youth tonight of any type, is it?
Youth will not meet tonight. Hopefully they don't disappear, they just won't meet.
Okay. Any prayer or praise requests today?
Put them on the prayer list because they were both in Iraq together a couple of years ago. The oldest boy, Josh and Jeremy Teal, and the oldest boy leaves in the tent for South Korea.
I'm sorry,
and
first I have
back to Iraq, Jeremy in November, I think. So we need to put them back.
Josh and Jeremy Teal.
Teal.
There's a notice on the prayer list of a Chad Tomlin. I think he's listed as one of the friends here with Russ Dornan. He is one of my employees who was injured several weeks ago in a pool accident. He is paralyzed from here down. He has movements of his arms, but nothing in his hands. He's 26 years old. I talked to him this week. He's in Shepherd Hospital in Atlanta doing therapy. And up until this week, his attitude and everything was great. This week, he was a little down. I don't think he is progressing quite as much as he thinks he should. Actually, he has not gained any movement since the accident. Keep Chad Tomlin in your prayers. He's struggling. He's really struggling right now. He's had a divorce the night was final, like on Friday night, and he was injured on Saturday. He has a daughter that he was going to be taking care of, so I guess it's going to be joint custody now. But he does come home here probably the end of September, and we need to build him a, and I say we, Baker Glass is going to do it with some people at work, but we've got to build him a ramp and do some remodeling to his house before they'll let him go. Keep him in your prayers. He's a good Christian guy, and he just needs some lifting up. Is there anything else? Let's pause for a moment of silent prayer, preparing our hearts for our worship of God. Amen. Alleluia. Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. Our call to worship this morning is in your hymnal number 200. Responsive reading. And in this responsive reading, the people speak first.
I'll start as one of the people. From the fullness of His grace we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ.
Having loved His own who were in the world, He now showed them the full extent of His love.
He demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, so that you, through His poverty, might become rich.
Because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved.
This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. If you would, please turn to number 9 in your hymnal.
Standing as we sing.
Praise the Lord, ye heavens, adore Him. Praise Him, angels, in the high. Sun and moon, rejoice before Him. Praise Him, all ye stars of light. Praise the Lord, for He has spoken. Word is mighty voiceful name, laws which never shall be broken, for their guidance He hath made. Praise the Lord, for He is glorious, never shall His promise fail. God has made His saints victorious, sin and death shall not prevail. praise the God of our salvation. Hosts on high His power proclaim. Heaven and earth and all creation laud and magnify His name. Worship, honor, glory, blessing, Lord, we offer unto Thee. Young and old, Thy praise expressing, in glad homage bend the knee. All the saints in heaven adore Thee, we will bow before Thy throne. As Thy angels serve before Thee, so on earth Thy will be done.
Let us bow for prayer.
Glory to God, our Heavenly Father. We come as Your humble people. We come to offer You praise and adoration. Lord, we come as earthly people, anticipating being heavenly beings. Lord, believing that this earth is not our home, that we're pilgrims passing through. Thank You for Your church. Thank You for the witness of the church, the ministry of the church. Thank You for the word that the church shares and people hear and believe and are redeemed unto eternal salvation in Your holy kingdom. Thank You for the privilege of being a part of Your great kingdom. Lord, we pray for Your blessing upon this hour. We pray that we can honor You and glorify You, and especially as we come to the table that contains the elements representing Jesus' body and blood. Lord, let it be a spiritual revival for us, an inspiration, a motivation. Lord, and that's the things that we would ask for. And You know what we really need better than we. So, Lord, that our need, our spiritual need, might be met in this hour, and especially around the table. And we offer our prayer in the name of Jesus, praying now as He taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing and let us state our faith through the Apostles' Creed and follow that with the Gloria.
I believe
in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He ascended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Our call to confession this morning is from Romans 3:23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Our prayer of confession is in unison this morning. You have sent us apart, O God, to be your people.
Help us to take up our roles as your servants with wholehearted commitment.
Grant that we may learn how to live lives of simple compassion like the Good Samaritan. Teach us what it means to walk in your ways and to live lives worthy of the price Jesus paid in reconciling creation.
We are humbled when we recall
how the Lord of the universe became flesh and lived among us, so that we might share in the inheritance of the saints in life. Forgive and grant us strength, endurance, patience, and joy as we learn to live as your people. Amen. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ was the perfect offering given to take away sin. God forgives and forgets the wrong that we have done and grants new opportunities for doing good. Join all of creation praising God without ceasing. If you would, please open your hymnals, number 350.
Let's sing the first and the last. First and last.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know the strength of the Lord. Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that He is with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him more and more. Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
We're not aware of who has special music. Are we aware for this service? Does anyone have special music prepared?
Our offertory sentence this morning is from Psalms 54:4. Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. Would our ushers come forward, please?
Come to the time to bring this offering to you, and ask you to
The daily bread is made available to church members. How many of you use that for your daily devotions? Today's, I thought, was very good. As we, most of us as lay people, when we leave on Sunday morning, we have other responsibilities, other duties, jobs, things to do. We might not think that we're being God's disciples when we leave there, but we can be. And this song, "Oh, How I Love Jesus." Do people see every day, Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock, or Thursday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, that we love Jesus? Do we? Let's sing the first and last again. "Oh, How I Love Jesus."
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing His word. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. It tells someone whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe. The many sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me.
Our scripture lesson this morning is from 1 Corinthians 11, verses 17 through 29. In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent I believe it. No doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper you eat, for as you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for anybody else. One remains hungry, another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? Certainly not. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself." The word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God.
if we can prepare, that's what sometimes I think I know what's going on, and I guess I really don't, but I was wanting to make sure that we could sing smoothly the two songs that are on the insert, the blank sheet on the back, and before we get to that point, draw me closer. I think the Wednesday night group will know one of these, and the Draw Me Closer, and then Isn't He, may be brand new. Incidentally, we had been meeting on Wednesday night through the summer, and but we have sung those songs, or one of those songs. And so they seem to... Well, when I planned the service, I planned it around the communion service today. And I think we left that line out, but on the song, To Catch You Up, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus, that is 350, and I wanted to call that second stanza, that second line, to your attention, just to trust. That's the second phrase. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to trust His cleansing blood. Trusting in the blood of Jesus. His shed blood for the remission of our sins. And then in the 529, number 2, verse 2, it tells me of a Savior's love. What did He do? Who died to set me free. Set us free from sin. His precious blood. It tells me of His precious blood. And that's the only plea that we have, really. The blood of Christ shed for the remission of the forgiveness of sin. So I wanted to call those two lines to your attention, and it may be more effective to take them than read them than it is to sing them. As you read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, this is Paul writing concerning the Lord's Supper being celebrated in the church in Corinth. And that church, it got out of hand. They were coming at their pleasure, and it was more than just the morsels, or so it appears, that we have. Some were coming to make a feast out of it. Some were getting there early. Those that could get off from work early got there earlier. Maybe those that were not gainfully employed, they would come. And sometimes the other people who got there, there was nothing left. I don't think that's ever happened at a fellowship supper, except it almost happened at one fellowship dinner we had. We had a guest preacher, and after preaching, he went out to smoke. When he came back in, all the meat was gone. But that's the only time I remember it, even a fellowship dinner, even coming close to running out of food. We made a vegetarian out of him that day, or broke him for smoking one. And I don't know which it was. My friend Jack Barker, and I don't know if he remembers that, but I remember it. And we haven't even invited him. I started to say he hadn't come back to preach for us again, but we haven't invited him. Well, he moved way over in West Tennessee somewhere, and different things have happened in his life. His wife became sick and passed away. One thing that about communion is, if you, by taking it often, it might become rote. I don't believe that we are anywhere near the Corinthians situation. But I do think that
we can do something on a regular basis, and it becomes a situation where we're going through the motions. And when I come before this table, I want to be aware of what is taking place. One reason we have, in many cases, put it early in the service, because if it's always at the end of the service, sometimes it is thought to be, or it may be appear to be, some people, that it's an attachment tacked on to the end of the service. World Communion Sunday comes up the first Sunday in October, and I might have preached this sermon then, but when the whole, well, not the whole world, but many in the Protestant world and maybe the Roman Catholic world also are gathered at the Lord's table for World Communion Sunday. And I might have preached this sermon on that Sunday, except I plan to be gone somewhere that Sunday. Don't plan to be here, and plan to have a guest preacher, and didn't want to tell him what to preach, and so I wanted to bring it to your attention today and preach my basically annual sermon on communion. In the first few verses, 17 through 22, the Apostle Paul is kind of correcting the church, and then beginning with verse 23, he tells the church what the Lord has revealed to him. These are our words of institution, as we call it. So since we're using them for the scripture lesson this morning, we did not put in the service, at the serving of communion, these words of institution that's usually a part of that aspect of the service. Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it. "This is my body," he said. And then when he served the wine, he said, "This is my blood shed for the remission of sin," the covenant, seal of the covenant. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three, give us a record of Jesus instituting this supper. And then the Apostle Paul comes along. And he wasn't there, but the Lord revealed this to him, his testimony, that the Lord revealed this to him about the supper. The Cumberland Presbyterian Church has made some statements concerning the Lord's Supper in our confession of faith. What do we believe about the Lord's Supper? Well, we believe what the Bible says, okay? But which angle do you look at it from? From the 1883 Confession, section 104, we have these words: "The sacrament, commonly called the Lord's Supper," incidentally, may I gain your assistance here, what do you normally say when you're referring to the Lord's Supper? Just speak it out. There are different phrases that people use to refer to it. Communion. Who else? The Lord's Supper. The Eucharist. Anybody else? When I was in Larry Barnes' mother's home, sometime 2 or 3 months before she got real sick and carried communion to her, the phone rang, and she answered the phone, and she said on the phone, "The Brother Guin is here to serve the sacrament to me." Did any of you grow up hearing it referred to as the sacrament? Serve the sacrament. And I had heard that word or that phrase before, many times I guess, but I hadn't heard it in a while. Most of us say communion, I believe I heard you saying, and the Lord's Supper. Some of us refer to it the Last Supper, because it's the Last Supper that Jesus had with the disciples, the last Passover Supper at least. The sacrament,
commonly called the Lord's Supper, Communion, the Eucharist. Eucharist is another word for thanksgiving. It's a time of giving thanks to the Lord. Was initiated by the Lord Jesus Christ at the close of His last Passover Supper as a perpetual remembrance of His passion or His the length that He would go to for our salvation. As His passion or His suffering and death on the cross, by which sacrifice of Himself was made, He was made the propitiation. Boy, that's a theological word, isn't it? Can't even pronounce it right. Propitiation for the sins of the whole world. And then in the 1984 confession, similar statements concerning the Lord's Supper with in the 1883 and the 1984, the update revision, we call it, has scripture verses given to support that statement or these statements. The Lord's Supper was instituted by Jesus Christ on the night of His betrayal. It is a means by which church remembers and shows forth Christ's passion and death on the cross. The sacrament is also a perpetual means given to the church to celebrate and experience the continuing presence of the risen Lord and her expectation of the Lord's return, her being the church, referred to as her. Let's think about this sacrament a moment. It's a memorial to our Savior. How many of us, if you'd like to say, how many of us go to memorial services where some loved one has been buried? Go and visit the cemetery, place flowers on them. Some cemeteries have a gathering and preach a sermon, and maybe do another funeral for everybody buried there. All Saints Day is that practiced in some churches, and sometimes our churches, Cumberland Presbyterian churches, practice that first day of November. And Halloween, All Hallows Eve, the day before All Saints Day, a time of bringing people together to remember the dead in Christ who have gone before us and call to remembrance. One thing to tell us that, you know, death is going to come to us too. And one thing is to pay respects again for our deceased loved ones. Basically, that's what we do here at the Lord's Supper. One thing, we remember Jesus Christ. I think we remember more than His death. We remember His life. And at a memorial service, we went to, last 2 weeks I've done 3 sermons, and part of the aspect of those sermons was remembering something about their lives. That's what we do when we remember Jesus, don't we? We don't just remember that He died for us, though we do remember that. That's part of it. The passion, the suffering, the death. But we remember some of His teachings. We remember His example that He set. We remember who He was, His perfect life, who He was. 1 Corinthians 11:24 says, and when He had given thanks, He broke it. This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. So we're remembering Jesus. And I think it's good, at least from my vantage point, to remember His life, His death. It's a testimony. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show forth the Lord's death till He come. It's an anticipation of His return till He come. But we keep proclaiming that He died for our sins. And we do it over and over and over. Hopefully not for it becomes a situation where we're going through the motions. Hopefully we can contemplate that death, that cross, every time we come to the table. It's a confession. Not, it may be a time that we confess our sins before we get to the communion table, before we are served. Traditionally, Presbyterians are served in the pew. But it's a confession of faith. We're confessing that we are trusting in Jesus as our Savior. So as you partake, somebody close to you might observe that you're proclaiming or confessing your faith in Jesus. We're giving testimony of Jesus' death. We're confessing that we are trusting in that death. We confess that we have faith in the Christ who has died, but also the Christ who is coming again. Coming again with power and great glory. And then it's a bond of union between Christians. And it was not a bond of union in the Corinthian church. They were kind of coming on their own. And when we have Christmas Eve communion, some of my fellow ministers say, that's not communion, really. That's not the way Jesus planned it. It is, we come as families, or maybe as individuals. Well, that's kind of special. But as we come as families, we may see large families coming together, a bond of union there. We're not excluding anybody else. But when we assemble like this, the whole church, or the gathered group, it's a bond of union. When we commune together, we are reminded that we are all members of the same body, that we all have the same Christ, the same body, the same blood for our nurture. As in this sacrament, we have before us visibly symbols of the Savior's passion, a broken body. That's what that bread represents. Blood that was shed. We come with self-examination, reverence, humility, and gratitude. Grateful for what God has done for us. The Lord's Supper, Mr. Reagan said, is a silent sermon telling the world that Christ died, and that we are trusting in Him as our Savior. And that they can too, and have the same benefit. We have, I believe, 4 active elders present this morning. Steve and Louise and Teresa and Melanie?
Or Melanie, are you needed to play at the during the communion?
We'll have an inactive elder. Somebody volunteer, an inactive elder to volunteer. Okay.
You'll gather with me at the table.
You're trusting in Jesus. Oh, we do. I'm sorry. We have the song.
So it only follows the outline that I prepared. Draw me close to you. Draw me close to you. It's on your insert.
This is a good song to prepare our hearts for communion. And I know it's hard to think about words when you learn a new song, but if we try to pray it during singing this song, it will be easier for us to learn it.
You'll all stand with me.
Draw me close to you, never let me go. I lay down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. But nothing else can take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way. Bring me back to
people may be seated. Again, all who are trusting Jesus as their Lord and Savior are invited to eat and drink from His table, remembering His great sacrifice for us. Let us pray. Lord God, for bread. Bread that represents the body of your Son, broken for us. Our sin, He took them in His body. It was broken. We offer thanks. Bless this bread to our spiritual nourishment. In Christ's name. Amen. The cup, the fruit of the vine, representing the shed blood of Jesus. Let us pray. Lord God, Your Word says that it was shed, this blood was shed for the remission of sin of many. Thank You that we can be included in that many. Lord, these are the words of Jesus, whose blood it was that was shed. We thank You for His willingness to give Himself for us, giving His life that we might have life eternal. Lord, today we remember also that death did not hold.
but that you raised him up to new life after the penalty was paid for our sins. Thank you. Please serve the people. Song, isn't he, I believe, expressive who we know Jesus to be? Let's stand together.
isn't he beautiful, beautiful? Isn't he Prince of Peace, Son of God? Isn't he? Isn't he? Isn't he? Isn't he wonderful? Wonderful, isn't he? Counselor, Almighty God, isn't he? Isn't he? Isn't he?
Lord God, our Heavenly Father, much thanksgiving and praise. You are beautiful, Prince of Peace. Your Son came to express who you were before. Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God. Yes, you are. Amen. Thank you.
I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had disappeared, and so had the sea. Then I saw New Jerusalem, that holy city, coming down from God in heaven. It was like a bride, dressed in her wedding gown, and ready to meet her husband.